Genesis chapter 13, beginning verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram, said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. This is where I'm going to focus today in this message. And pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I want to preach a message to you today as the Lord gives me the ability on the danger of a lean in the wrong direction. The danger of a lean in the wrong direction. Let's pray. Father, it's an honor today to serve you. I thank you for your word, God, because your word gives us instruction, correction, reproof, rebuke, whatever we need, Lord, your word provides it. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the anointing that quickens and makes alive. I ask you for that quickening power of the Holy Spirit today, God. I pray, Father, that this word will find a place in our hearts, Lord, that our lives will be strengthened and empowered through the word of the Lord today to be everything that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Bible says, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. The danger of a lean in the wrong direction. One of my favorite songs, and we'll probably be singing it here before long, is an old hymn of the church called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I love that song. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. The whole song is about the blessing, the strength, the peace, and the joy that fills our lives as we lean on Jesus. Another one very similar to this is the chorus, Learning to Lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I always loved those songs, and I got a little older and I found out they were based on the Word of God. I found out in the Song of Solomon 8 and 5, the Bible said, Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Of course, it's talking about the church leaning on Jesus. And I read in John 13 and 23, Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We know that's John, the beloved. The very one that Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to as he was dying on the cross. Then Hebrews 11, 21 says, By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. I love that verse. One of the reasons I love it so much is because it puts Jacob's life into perspective. Early in life, Jacob had been a liar. You know the story of Jacob and Esau? He was a cheat. He was a usurper. He was a supplanter. He would do anything to get what he wanted. He was a self-made man. He would cheat. He would lie. He was could steal, he did it. Jacob cheated his brother out of the birthright of the firstborn son. Then he deceived his father to get the blessing of the firstborn son through deception. But one night, Jacob, oh hallelujah, he had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. The Bible said he wrestled with him all night long till the break of day. And the angel said, let me go. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My friend, somewhere during that wrestling match, Jacob came face to face with the wicked, corrupt man he had become. And he knew, I can't fix myself. I can't fix myself. Jacob said, I won't let you go till you bless me. When he said that, the Bible said the angel of the Lord put forth his hand, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and threw it out of joint. And the sinew, oh, Rashikatabahai, the sinew or the muscle of his thigh shrank. From that day on, Jacob was a leaner. From that day on, Jacob leaned to the side the Lord had touched. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That day he received a new man, a new name. He was no longer called Jacob the liar. He was no longer the heel grabber, the supplanter, and the deceiver. But his name was called Israel. As a prince, you have power with God.
Yes.
Oh, my friend, Israel's power was not in his standing. It was not in his wrestling. It was not in his fighting, even though he wrestled all night long. His blessing, his power, his strength, his transformation came through his leaning.
Oh, amen. Yes, Lord.
Woo, hallelujah. Look at somebody, tell him, I think I'm going to lean on Jesus. When he learned to lean, he found the power of God. Yes. Now look at somebody, tell him, just lean into the power.
Glory
to God. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, then he said, 2 Corinthians 12:19, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, hallelujah. The greatest battle we will ever fight as believers is not with the devil, and it's not even with sin. It's with self. I'm telling you, our fight is with the spirit of pride that makes us feel strong and independent. Pride is a killer. Pride will tell you. Pride will tell you you can do it on your own. Pride will tell you you don't need to wait on God. You don't need to pray. Pride will tell you, you don't need anyone's help. You don't have to read the Bible. You already know what it says. It's amazing to me how many people won't even open their Bible when the preacher says, turn to such and such a place in the Bible. And they say, oh, I already know whatever he's going to say. I already know it. I don't think so.
Praise God.
I don't think you know it all. There's still some things to learn. Pride will tell you, you don't have to read the Bible. You already know what it says. You're so talented, you don't need to practice. And you don't even need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're just talented. Just get up there and say it.
No, sir. No.
Pride will tell you, you can stand on your own. Pride will tell you, you're smart enough to make the right choices with God, without God. You don't need a preacher telling you how to live. Pride will tell you, you can look at pornography. It won't hurt you. You can drink a beer every now and then. It won't hurt you. You can smoke a joint every once in a while. It won't hurt you. Pride will tell you, anything is okay as long as you can control it. Let me tell you something. If you can't quit this minute, if you can't quit this minute, you do not control it.
Right.
It's controlling you.
Yeah.
It tells you when to do it. It's amazing to me. I almost believe that it is a prerequisite when you go to apply for a convenience store job that you have to be a smoker. I almost believe it's a prerequisite. I almost believe that they have to write down there, yes, I smoke at least 4 to 5 packs a week. Because every time I pass one of them, they're all out there congregating. I've lived in Oklahoma, and I'm telling you, right outside the convenience store, it could be 20 degrees below zero, and they're going to go out there and smoke.
Amen.
It's
so true. You're true.
Say, I can quit any time I want. Well, you don't want to. That's because it controls you. You're not controlling it. It tells you when. It tells you what. It tells you how many. It tells.
Come on, tell the truth. Praise God.
Amen. Walls. No, you're not controlling it, but pride will tell you, as long as I can control it, it doesn't matter if I have a drink now and then. Pride will tell me it doesn't matter if I smoke a joint every now and then. It doesn't matter if I drink a beer every now and then, as long as I control it. But you don't control it. Pride will make you a prisoner. If you can't stop it, admit it, and Jesus will set you free.
Hallelujah.
You can never be set free as long as you cover up.
Yeah, true.
And as long as you feel like you're big enough to deal with it. My friend, I'm not big enough to deal with it. I'm not big enough to deal with nicotine, with alcohol, with drugs, with abuse, with fornication, with lust, with perversion. I'm not big enough to deal with it. I need His help. I've got to lean on Him every day, every hour. I've got to lean on Him. I'm a man just like many of you in this house. I've got a computer. I have the option of watching and looking at pornography. I've got to lean on Jesus. You think stuff like that's never come up in front of my face? It has, my friend. But I got to make a choice. Am I going to let it control me, or am I going to lean on Jesus and get the victory over it?
Thank you, Jesus.
So, well, I just will watch it one time. That's all it takes, my friend. I'll just listen one time. I just have one every now and then. Yeah. The strongest believer, the most anointed, the most effective believer is the one who has learned the secret, the necessity, and the joy of leaning on Jesus. But my message today, I'm going to try to go through this, deals with a lean in the wrong direction. The danger of a lean in the wrong direction. As believers, we're all leaning. We're all leaning one way or the other. The question is, which way are you leaning?
Yeah.
Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You're leaning the wrong direction when you convince yourself you know what's best for you. When you believe you're strong enough to stay saved, even though you don't pray. Or read the Word of God. You're leaning in the wrong direction when you believe you can make it without the fellowship of the saints. You're leaning the wrong direction when you start letting little things slip in that are offensive to the Spirit of Christ. You see, in the story that I'm reading to you today, and we have read from, the Bible says in our story, Lot had grown in number and strength until now. He was a rival. He was in competition to Abram. In other words, the flesh had become almost as strong as the spirit man. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? The flesh had exerted itself. This is a spiritual lesson. The flesh had become almost as strong as the spirit man. This is where people start leaning in the wrong direction. They begin to allow their self to be in charge. Not sin, just self.
Yeah.
Self, what is self? My way, my plans, my thoughts. What makes me feel good, what feels good to me, what makes sense to me. I don't see anything wrong with it. It looks all right to me. It's just country music. It's not that evil rock and roll stuff. It's just rated R movies. And I don't even go to the show to watch them. I just watch them in my DVD. Besides that, preacher, it's not pornography or anything like that. And then it's, I just don't feel like going to church today. I'm all right. I'm not backslid or anything. I just want to hang out at the house and chill. What's wrong with that? Give me a break, preacher. I'm not going to the bar. I'm not going to the crack house. I'm not looking for a prostitute. I just want to hang out and relax and watch the two. I wonder if that wasn't something like the attitude David had when it was the time when kings go to battle and David stayed home. It was the time of year when it was customary for kings to go to battle. And David said, this time I'll stay home and chill. And the Bible says he got up and walked on his rooftop and he saw Bathsheba bathing naked.
Yep, he opened up.
His eyes
lit. And committed adultery with her. Where it all started, David was at the wrong place at the wrong time. It was the time for kings to go to battle. If he'd have been in battle, he would have never fallen to that lust. He leaned in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And it came to pass at eventide, David rose from his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and she was beautiful to look on. David sent and inquired after the woman, found out it was Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house, and then she got pregnant with his baby, and then he said, we got to kill her husband.
Yeah.
And it all started, friends, with a lean in the wrong direction.
Yes, amen.
Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom was known to be a wicked, sinful city. But Lot leaned towards Sodom. That's what it meant. He pitched his tent. Leaning towards Sodom. Facing Sodom. Favoring Sodom. Thinking about Sodom. Imagining the things that were going on in Sodom. Not in Sodom. Not a partaker of Sodom's sins. But close enough to hear the sounds of Sodom. Close enough to look over and see the business of Sodom. Close enough that eventually the dirty, off-color jokes didn't offend him anymore. Close enough that their immorality and vulgarity didn't offend him anymore. Man, look at somebody, tell them, close enough is too close.
Close enough is too close.
Eventually, Lot moves his family into town. And they're living in the midst of a city that's given to perversion, unbridled lust and sensuality. Now they're no longer on the outskirts of town. They're not just passerbys or occasional visitors. They're no longer on the outside looking in. Now they are residents and citizens of Sodom.
Yeah.
And it all started with a lean in the wrong direction. Romans 12 and 2 said, and be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It means don't let the outside pressure shape your life.
Thank you.
Don't make adjustments to accommodate the mindsets, yes, attitudes, and appetites of this world. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. James said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Right. Amen.
There's continual pressure on the child of God to relax, tone down, become tolerant, flexible to the spirit of worldliness, ungodliness, perversion in our nation, in the world. The standard of morality in this nation has fallen so low that there is no moral compass to point us to true north.
Right.
The line between right and wrong has been erased. And from a worldview, it's nearly impossible to discern the difference between good and evil.
That's right.
Isaiah 5 and 20 said, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Let's not be spiritual ostriches. I talked about this morning. Let's not be spiritual ostriches that bury our heads in the sand, pretend that because we ignore it, it doesn't exist. Let me tell you something.
It exists.
Ignore it all you want. It exists. And it's going to come stomping right down our streets. It's already flooding our church houses. Ignore it all you want. It's not going to make it go away. Pretend like it doesn't exist and the devil laughs. My friend, we have an adversary.
Yes, we do.
And he is set on killing and stealing and destroying. Our nation is leaning away from God. This society is leaning away from God. But what concerns me most is that the church is leaning towards Sodom.
Yes.
Toward tolerance of sin and compromise to avoid conflict. To avoid conflict, to gain acceptance, to fit in. Many of our pulpits have sold out. Even many of our mainline denominational churches that once held the Bible as the only standard for life acceptable to God have been infected by the spirit of compromise.
Amen.
And no longer do they sound a clear warning against
Amen.
Sin.
That's right.
Their messages become diluted and polluted. Their pulpits are for sale to the highest bidder.
Yes, exactly right.
1 Corinthians 14 and 8 says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, Who shall prepare himself to battle? You may not like what I'm saying, but I promise you one thing. You will not walk out of this church saying, I wonder what he meant.
No. Bless the Lord.
Fill us. That'll be true.
Because I'm a watchman on the wall.
Yes.
Somebody said, we're good people. Why would you preach this to us? Because it's what's coming our way, my friend. It's because we're in the middle of it. Yeah. It's because we didn't choose Sodom. Sodom chose us. Yeah. We didn't choose to move into Sodom. Sodom is moving in all around us. The spirit of sin and corruption and perversion and worldliness and lust and violence and murder. It's coming in all around us, my friend.
Amen.
And God is telling us ahead of time. And he's warning us there is a danger in a lean in the wrong direction. Keep leaning on Jesus.
Yes.
Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own wisdom.
Amen.
Don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in the ability and the strength of your flesh. You're not that strong.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Good. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It breaks my heart. I hear young ladies and young men. They don't know what they are.
Jesus, help us.
Don't tear your heart out.
Yes, it does.
They don't know what they are. Maybe one day they're a boy, the next day they're a girl. They don't know. That's the world we live in. That's the pressure that's on the church. And the pressure on the church is become inclusive and accept it and make room for it all. Listen, my friend, we want every person who needs Jesus to be welcome in this church. But sin is not welcome in this church.
Right.
Perversion is not welcome in this church. Lust is not welcome in this church. Adultery is not welcome in this church. Fornication is not welcome in this church. Let him come and get saved. Let him come and feel and experience the grace of God. And that grace will deliver them. And that grace will heal them. And that grace will set them free. That grace will not trump them and comfort them and bless them and tell them they're okay and just go on and be blessed and go to hell. No, my friend. That grace will deliver them.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
If you don't love somebody enough to tell them the truth, you don't love them.
That's right.
Come on.
There is a danger in the lean in the wrong direction. To every man or woman that stands behind the sacred desk, you're held accountable by God to speak the truth, to speak it with clarity and simplicity. To every preacher that dilutes the message and hides the truth in obscurity and in confusion, you will be held accountable by God for every soul that is lost. Because you failed to preach the full counsel of God without fear and without favor. I don't preach for money. You couldn't give me enough money to preach what I preach. And you couldn't hold money and keep me from preaching what I preach.
Right, amen.
I don't do it for money. I do it because I have a divine mandate in my life. God has made me a watchman on the city.
Yes.
And I have a spiritual responsibility before God Almighty to sound the trumpet and to make it clear. He said, Son of Man, he said, I set you as a watchman on the wall. He said, if you see the sword coming and you warn the people that the sword is coming, and they prepare themselves and they turn from their wicked ways, he said, then you have delivered your soul and you have saved their souls. But he says, if you sound the trumpet, you see the sword coming and you sound the trumpet and they don't turn from their wicked ways. He said, Son of Man, you have delivered your soul. And I will not hold their blood. Their blood will not be on your hands. But if the storm comes and you do not warn them, he said, I will require their blood at your hands. My friend, that is heavy responsibility. Now, I'm finishing. Lot and his family are settled in Sodom. They're surrounded by sin. What at one time was repulsive, unthinkable, is now the atmosphere they breathe every day. Is that not trying to make its way to America.
Yeah. Yes.
The very atmosphere is saturated with it.
Yes.
That you breathe it every day. I'm telling you something. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. This is just my earth suit. This is not the real me. You understand what I'm saying? This is just my earth suit. It's not the real me. This is just so I can function here on the earth. Hallelujah. But even though I'm in the world and not of the world, I don't have to be contaminated by the atmosphere of this world. Somebody said one time, said, can you swim in the ocean without getting water in your mouth? Yeah, keep your mouth closed. It's not what, listen, friend, it's a simple thing, and it may sound extremely simple. It's not what is around you that will pollute you, it's what gets in. It doesn't matter how wicked it gets out there. What matters is which direction I lean. If I lean toward, I'm eventually going to fall into it. If I lean into Jesus, I'm eventually going to fall into his arms.
Yes.
That's what I want. I want every person under the hearing of my voice to fall into the arms of Jesus and learn to lean on Jesus. Can you stand with me today? I have a whole lot more message, but I feel like this is where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. The danger of a lean in the wrong direction. I'm going to tell you today, it's time. It's time that we tighten up. It's time we get the slack out. If you're leaning in a wrong direction, it's time today to lean back toward Jesus. If you're leaning toward your own abilities, your own wisdom, your own strength, it's time to lean on Jesus. It's time to put your confidence back in the only one who can secure you. The only one who can deliver you. The only one who can heal you. The only one who can get you to heaven. Let me tell you, friend, there are a lot of people that are going to be deceived. There's a lot of people that are going to say in that day, Lord, 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 Lord. And he's going to say, I don't even know who you are. Deceived. He said, why call me Lord? He said, don't do the things that I tell you to do. My friend, it's about learning to lean on Jesus. If you lean on Jesus, you'll never have to worry about leaning to the arm of the flesh. You'll never have to worry about leaning towards Sodom. You'll never have to worry about leaning toward the world and sin and corruption. Can you sing that song with me? Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more. Right now, while we're singing that song, I'm going to ask you, please, if you know in your heart, you know in your life today that you've been leaning in the wrong direction, even thinking about it, even entertaining it in your thoughts, it's time to repent. It's time to repent. It's time to get it right with God. Somebody told me one time that, you know, the Bible talks about getting the ox out of the ditch, and I was speaking a warning to somebody one time, and they told me, they said, well, wait till the ox gets in the ditch. And I looked at that person and I said, God forbid I wait until you're in the ditch. God forbid I just stand by and watch you go the wrong way and lean the wrong direction until you fall into sin and you fall into perversion. No, my friend, my responsibility is warn you before you fall into the ditch. While we're singing it one more time, I'm just going to ask you to search your own heart and ask the Holy Spirit to turn the searchlight of heaven on your heart today. If there's attitudes in your heart, in your life that shouldn't be there, if there's thought processes that shouldn't be there, things you've been entertaining that shouldn't be there, things you've been looking at that shouldn't be there, things you've been listening to that shouldn't be there, things you've been partaking of that you know you shouldn't be partaking of, it's time to repent. It's time to get it right with God. I don't just want to get you ready to go to heaven. I want you ready to live every day in the fear, the admonition, and in the blessing of God for your life. Will you lift your voice with me? I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed.